come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Bulldog Live continues here with Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean here on The Pulse. We're kind of mixing two topics together today. One is our Second Amendment rights and a lot of to do with court procedure. And speaking of court procedure, last night a lawsuit was filed against the New Hampshire State Police and Trooper James Decker in a federal civil rights lawsuit. It's sitting in Concord District Court, you know, the United States District Court in Concord, for District of New Hampshire. It's located in Concord. It's a civil jury trial that they're asking for. It is Brian Blackton, who is the area freelance photographer, and Belcito Communications, which is also known as the First Responder News, who Brian Blackton submits a lot of his stories to. And Penny, if I can just ask a question or two about the case, because I understand it's a jury trial, so there's only certain things I guess you're able to talk about right now. In this case, this is what kind of damages are being sought in this? Or I see in here it says unspecified damages.
You know, that's one of the things that I can't talk about, but I can talk about a procedural underlying issue, is what happens in certain type of cases. You don't ask for a dollar amount. Like, let's say your house burned down and you want to build a new house, okay, and you're fighting with your insurance company. You're going to say, you know, it costs X number of dollars to build my new house, so I want this amount of money plus my legal fees. There are certain things that it's up to a court and a jury to decide about the value. One of those things is, for example, human life. How much is your wife's life worth? You know, if something horrible happened to your wife and you had to sue, how much is that life worth? Something like the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment, and when those are violated, those are very hard things to value, but they're hugely valuable, because the only thing that the police understand, if you will, the state understands, is money and force. And so what you have to do is make it a dollar amount that gets their attention to say, look, if you do this, it will be costly. Do not do this again, because the value of the First Amendment and the value of the Fourth Amendment are indescribable. How much is the sanctity of your home worth? You know, how much is him being able to sell these photos worth? But the larger issue that we have to look at is to society is what I call these really wise old men created a constitution and a bill of rights over 200 years ago. And it's withstood the test of time, and it's an incredible document. And so how much are those rights worth? Mm-hmm. You know, how much are those rights worth? So there isn't a dollar amount, and it's to be determined in each case how egregious was the violation in a particular case.
Well, let me ask this other question, too, because as what usually happens in a court case, the outcome of a court case usually helps set the precedent for other similar cases. And I'm just thinking to some personal experiences that I've had before and after this incident took place that is mentioned in this lawsuit. And that is, will... If you and your client prevails in this case, I guess it would kind of make it clear to other law enforcement agencies about the parameters and of where reporters are allowed to go, journalists are allowed to be.
That's exactly a very, very important point. And sometimes you get people who don't necessarily file a lawsuit for their own benefit, although that's certainly a part of it, but for others that go behind them or beyond them. You know, it's kind of like the women suffragists, okay, when they said, you know, we want women to have votes, but they didn't just want to vote themselves. They wanted their daughters and their granddaughters to have the right to vote. And so you think of cases like this, and you think about, you know, all the cub reporters and the other reporters and reporters who may not have enough courage or financial wherewithal to stand up and fight for themselves. And First Responder Press has been very, very vigorous in their defense of the First Amendment throughout the country. You know, they had a similar case in New Jersey. You know, what you have is certain, well, we have newspapers in this state who are known to going to court under right to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they basically say, and you have to think about this. how many newspapers are there in the state of New Hampshire? I don't know, but there are many. I would say more than 200, correct?
I guess when you count all the real tiny community newspapers included, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and we in no way mean that they're in any way less deserving of First Amendment protections, whether you're the union leader or the, you know,
Intertown Record or...
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or but Valley News or any of them.
That's exactly right. And so, but you look at, there's a couple of them who, in my mind, are notorious for filing First Amendment challenges in this state. And I think that's because they really believe, or their editors or their owners really believe, that the First Amendment means what it says. And the only way to really keep that amendment viable is when you're trounced on and stomped on, is to stand up and say, no, this isn't right, and I'm going to stick up for myself. And so I look at the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, well, the Second Amendment the same way. For example, whenever I see signs that in any way restrict my Second Amendment rights, I do the thing which is called vote with my dollars. I just say, well, I'm not going to spend money in this entity. Or if it's a public entity, for example, like Concord Hospital was going to put signs up, then we work on talking to the legislature and saying, wait a minute, when this contract comes up with them, do we want to say, gee, as long as you have these signs up, we need to talk about this. You know, we need to make that a condition of this or a condition of that. And so I think if people don't stand up every step of the way and assert their rights, you have none. You know, be it the first, the second, the fourth. You know, do you let someone walk in your living room and dictate how you put your couch?
Hmm.
You know, or whatever. You know, I think the issue becomes in more people, particularly on the Fourth Amendment, which seems to always be related to the Second. They don't stand up when I've got a gentleman right now who told me that their house had burned, okay? And during the burning, when the fire marshal did the investigation, the police were there, and they wanted to, quote-unquote, take their firearms for safekeeping. Now, whenever the police want to take your firearms for safekeeping, that's a code word for we're hoping you'll give us consent to seize your firearms.
Mm.
And I tell people the answer to that should absolutely always be no. You know, no. Why are you going to keep my firearms any safer than I'm going to keep my firearms?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's usually a good answer. But, you know, we've kind of been what I call all over the map today, and I really want to spend...
We really have, I know, and I hope our listeners are able to follow this. Let me ask one more question because we're starting to run out of time here. In the case of Brian Blackton, has he ever been charged with anything resulting from that incident on August 26th on Interstate 93?
He has not. Not one crime.
Okay.
Not one crime. Not one charge. Not one arrest warrant. And here's
But as is known in this case, New Hampshire State Police are still in possession of his digital memory card, which contained the pictures that were taken at that scene.
Absolutely. Those are the only only copies of pictures that he has. They're on that digital memory card in their possession. Absolutely not charged with one crime. And that's what people, a lot of times people won't file claims like, for example, like the First Amendment, because here's what they think. The minute I file this lawsuit, they're going to retaliate and trump up some charges. You know, I've had people say that to me before. Gee, if I just leave this alone, even though I didn't do anything wrong, then maybe they won't charge me with whatever they think they're going to charge me with. And the really sad thing is you see people in our society all the time who are just grateful that they weren't charged rather than being outraged that their rights are violated.
All right. Well, with that, Penny, I must run. If anybody has any further questions, we'll make, you know, we'll point people in a direction where they'll be able to read this case eventually. Hopefully by the end of today, we'll be able to tell people how they can do this. If they have any other questions that they can call you, what's your phone number?
230-9999. But just so that anyone knows, I can answer all sorts of procedural questions, but I can't answer specific questions about this ongoing case, just because occasionally I get calls, and not to be rude to people, but an ongoing case I can't give you specific answers on.
I understand that. Penny, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week on Second Amendment Tuesdays.
Next week.